I tell you, it's fun being here. You never know what's going to happen, do you? It's a joy. Well, good morning, saints. How are you? So how many feel like a saint today? Okay, we got one that feels like a saint. Two? Good. Three? Well, we're good. We're building up. So it may not feel like we're saints, but is that not what Paul calls us? Saints? What does saint mean? That we perfect? No. It means that you and I have been separated apart. We have been separated for a purpose. Let me kind of set the stage for this sermon. I appreciate Greg. I'm sitting there, and we're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist this morning. And it's like, wow. Cody says, is God in this? I said, I hope so. But we find we're going to be in John chapter 15, but Jesus is talking to his disciples. And before we get there, I want us to talk about the impact that John the Baptist had on the 12. And before I get there, I want to ask you to think back to all the people in your life that have brought you to, introduced you to Christ. Okay? All those little incidences, like when I was 12 years old, I went to Blodgett Baptist Church, and it was an evening service, and they're having the Lord's Supper, and I've not been in church before, and they passed the bread and the cup, and I took it. Nobody told me any different. Well, that was one. And then in college, my roommate went to a church that didn't have instruments. I knew I couldn't be there because I can't carry a note and a bucket. So that was an introduction. And then in our BSU, a Baptist Student Union, they would have supper at for dinner for college students, and I'd go for food, you know. So I kind of look at where God has slowly moved me closer and closer to that point in time when people, friends, brought me to or suggested that I need Jesus Christ in my life. Now, John the Baptist was a key guy. He was, well, let me back up. From Malachi to Matthew, how many years is that? Wait just a second. Okay. How many years? 400 years. Okay? So there has not been a fresh word from God for 400 years. And then, you know, Jesus is born. The angels knew it. The shepherds knew it. But he just kind of grew up quietly. And then came this crazy dude, John the Baptist. He lived in the desert. And he wore camel clothing, and he ate locusts and honey. I bet his parents are proud of him. Right? It's like, oh, no, not him. But he had a message. And the message was, repent, because of Jesus Christ is coming. And people came, and he had an impact on all the disciples. Because they were kind of bored with all this stuff, and they're probably asking, is there anything better, anything different? And here John the Baptist approaches and saying, listen, I am not the Christ. I'm only announcing, make straight the way, because Jesus is coming. Now we find, let me ask you, are you working back through your friends who kind of helped you along the path to know Jesus? List them. I'll challenge you this week. List them. of the individuals who have said something to you, who were in the spirit, the same attitude of, I need you to know who he is. I was in a baptism the other day, and we saw four, I wasn't being baptized, but I was there, and I was preaching, and they had four kids, four young people, who preached. Now, the service was packed. There's people who have never been there. And I'm sitting thinking, okay, here's these parents, and their sons or daughters that just came to know Christ. What impact will they have on their family, their friends, and school? See, we think baptism, but do we think the impact of what this means? Are you back figuring out who in hell and how you got to where you are today that I can actually call you saints this morning? Did you realize in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's saying to them, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. Look at that. John chapter 15, verse 16. Here's Jesus, our Lord, saying to us. He's sitting around. And he knows the history. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He knows where these guys were. And he says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. You know, one day as John the Baptist was there by the River Jordan, Jesus walks by. And he says to Andrew and another disciple, there goes the Son of God. They went after him. And Jesus turned and he says, why are you following me? He says, because we want to know you. And he says, come. And they went to where he was staying and they knew Jesus. And Andrew, we know the story very well. Andrew went and said, hey, I found the Messiah. When you got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, did you say, oh, I found the Messiah? I remember sitting at 15 years old around our dining room table. My sister comes in from church, and she's crying, and she's telling me, and she's crying, and she's telling me, that she accepted Christ. I'm like, what are you crying for? I'm just as lost as a day is long. I said, ah. Other people, I mean, it's just one of those things. And I look at that as a signal from God that he was working in my life. It was a brief one, but it was something to keep me attuned that God was there. You understand, this is Jesus' heart, that none should perish. No, not one. Right? You understand that? And did he call you to be his followers to sit upon a shelf? Hence, shelfless. Many of us as Christians are sitting on the shelf. And we are studying our Bible, and we're knowing the Word of God, and we're very proud of ourselves, but we are sitting on a shelf. This is made in China. This Chinese friend. It could be. There's not a bad way to win this, brother. Not a bad way. And so I don't think they thought it would be on the shelf. They probably never thought it would come out and come to America, but it did. Guys, you, the most exciting thing in the world is to be in the hands of a living God, being purposeful, directed by Him. Has any of you had the opportunity to win somebody to Christ? What would that look like? What would that invest in? How would that look like? And so here we are in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, Jesus chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. That's why I can call you saints if you know Jesus Christ. In His sight, you are blameless. I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm not very smart. And I kind of look around and I go, you know, we have these churches around, all denominations. We have all kinds of churches. And this is what I'm finding in our churches. They are on the decline. Right? Everywhere. I was in a church that runs five. I was in another church the other day. I'm not telling you where these are, but they're in the state of Maine. And there was 15 people there. And my wife and two friends were the other four. So there are a total 11 people there. They're on a decline. So all the urging I can do is of no avail. Okay? I can't make you do this stuff. But I will challenge you. In your bulletin, you have this piece of paper. I told you I'm not very smart, okay? But I would like you to start listing your friends that you know and start praying for them on a daily basis. All right? It may be the guy who bags your groceries at Hannaford's. But you shop and you see him all the time. Start praying for him. For me, it's a restaurant owner. I'm praying for him. For another guy I just met yesterday, he builds sheds. And I took my wife to look at the shed, and we come. And it was very interesting because every other word was not a word you could say in church. So my wife says, wow, we got in the truck. And she goes, wow, he definitely doesn't know Jesus. But he's a good guy. He builds quality sheds, and they're affordable. So I put his name right here, number 11. I'm going to start praying for him. He's going to deliver our shed. And we're going to pray for him before he gets there. This is why I'm saying this is not rocket science. Think about the people you know that you see on a constant place. Whether it's, you know, Ira and I would eat at the Harvest House when it was open. We got to know the waitresses there. And we knew when they were having health issues or whatever, and we prayed for them on a daily basis. Then what happens when you start praying for these guys? And they probably don't know that you're praying for them, okay? They have no clue. This is between you and God praying for them. And you get to know them, and you say, hey, here, would you like to go get coffee? Can I buy you a Coke? I don't know how many Cokes I bought. I buy a gift card for $5 from Dunkin' Donuts, and I give it to the guy who's sacking my groceries. Well, that's crazy, Keith. That's $5. Yeah. But I want him to know that I am like him or her. because I want them to know when I get there, I have something to offer them. I'm not going to take my Bible and hit them over the head. I'm going to invest a lot of time praying for them. And then I'm going to get to know them better. And I'm praying for my neighbor. And I'm praying for a friend, my other neighbor, Stephen. And I'm praying for these guys, and I'm going to take them fishing. And I'm going to have this God conversation on the boat. Where are they going to go? Hello? But before I get there, I've been praying for them for over 3 months. And then I'm going to listen to their conversation. If they said this, this, and I'm going to say, can I pray about that with you? You know? And I don't pray long. I just say, God, Cody is struggling at this point. Would you please bless him? Amen. Could you not do that? I don't know if he's safe. I can pick on him. All right? But this is what it takes. You have a choice to be on the shelf and be looked at, and they're looking at you and they're going, I can never be like him. Or you have a choice to get off the shelf and say, hey, I'm just a sinner just like you. And some of you have positions that people look at you and go, wow, I could never be like him. Like him, I don't know what that is. But I do know the God who lives in you, who loved you enough to, while you were yet sinners, come into your life. And you have this gift. And you need to share it. And what's the motto of Bean's Corner? Build up, send out, or reverse them. Send out, I don't know. Send out, build up. What? Make disciples. Wow, that's a novel thing. Are we not commanded to make disciples? Yes. You know, there's nothing better than investing in people's lives. Nothing better. You will never see the return. But you'll have the joy of watching them grow. This summer I spent, and some of you met the four young men that came and interned with us. Let me tell you, I wasn't a very nice guy. We went fishing. I do a lot of discipleshiping training, and so Will Ford was one of my guys. He was fishing. I have several degrees of rods, and some are really good, and some are not really good. And so he had the best rod, and he was just catching fish. So in the minute, I said, Will, give your rod to JC, who has not caught anything. What do you think, Wills? He looked at me like, you're stupid. Reluctantly, he gave his rod and reel to JC, and JC gave his. And Will made his work as well as he did the other one. But guys, we were given something. And God is now saying, give it away. And you have no idea what that's going to look like when you give it away. You don't know what you're going to get in return, but it may be just as good or not better. But give it away. We're afraid to give away. We're afraid. We are afraid. Don't be afraid. start praying. And when they say, I've got this issue, pray for them. If they say this, build a relationship with them. People are dying to have somebody to listen to. Be that person. I'm the best counselor in the world. The best. You know what I do? I listen. I coach. I listen. You want to be the best counsel in the world? Listen. And they'll come back to you time and time again. And as they struggle with these things, they say, I don't have the answers, but I'm going to pray that Jesus Christ will answer that question. My neighbor was without job for nearly a year. And I said, you know, Andy, all I know is I want to pray for you. And within 2 months, he had a job. He forgot that I even prayed for him. Okay? You're not praying to get credit. You're praying to increase the size of the kingdom and the state of Maine. It's bigger than us. The gift you have is bigger than what you hold on to. Does that make sense? Pretty simple. I challenge you this week. I'll be back next week. Some of you may not be here. Okay, that's okay. But look at John chapter 15. Read the whole chapter of John 15. Look up remain. Look up fruit. Look up love. This is his last farewell address, one of his last farewell address to his disciples. And in John 15, 16, it says, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And then it says, for his purposes, so that you will be fruitful. Is your life fruitful? Would you want it to be more fruitful? We'll examine that next week. What does it look like to have a fruitful life? I wouldn't change anything because I'm investing in people. I'll give you a quick, I don't know if I've ever shared this story or not, but if I have, there's a lady in Chicago. She was a simple lady. She was a very wealthy lady. And she was having problems with depression. And the psychiatrist went there to her house and saw that she was magnificent with African violets. And so his prescription was this. I want you to pick up the Chicago Tribune. And I want you to look down the hospital. I used to list everybody in the hospital. I don't do that anymore for privacy reasons, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, for every person, we want you to take an African violet to them. Thirty years later, Chicago Tribune, the African violet lady passed away. She gave of what she had with no pretense. Your headstone? What's it going to say? Let's pray. Father, you have so gifted this church and so gifted those here. You call them saints. You call them precious in your sight. You've invested in them. You gave them a gift that money or silver can never purchase. Thank you for each one here. They are so valuable to your kingdom. They may not feel like it. I pray this week that they will see how valuable they are. I pray that you will impress on them just the love that they they have, so they will give from a full bucket, not an empty bucket. Because they have been first loved by you and cared for. If there's here someone who doesn't know you here, I hope they will sense you speaking to them and understand that you love them. John 17:3 says, this is salvation, that you know Jesus Christ. And if you don't know him, talk with some elder here, but somebody, and ask, what does that look like? And we can help them on this journey. We thank you for this opportunity together as a body on this beautiful day. And we just ask that you bless this time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Cody.